Today on Real Radio.
Little did I know that God in his patience knew that I would sometime get out of this thing and really put my weight on what he had done so that someday I could tell people about him. Because my friend, without the assurance of your salvation, you don't want to tell people nothing.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack continues his topical series called, How Do We Get From Here to Heaven? We hear a lot about heaven, don't we? In fact, there seems to be this assumption that when one dies, that individual automatically goes to heaven, even if he's never even so much as thumbed through the pages of the Bible or showed any interest in his own eternal destiny when he was still living. Also, any discussion about heaven is awkwardly out of context without including hell. Now, that's the truth that Scripture speaks of. Our key text is in Romans chapter 12, and the first two verses. Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. Here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs now in a series called, How Do We Get From Here to Heaven?
Jesus said, My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom was of this world, my servants would fight. No, we are citizens of heaven, says the Bible. Our lives have been dramatically changed. We were totally lost in this world. The Bible says we were spiritually dead. And listen, our bodies dictated whatever we wanted to do. It was the body that screamed to us its appetites, and the soul did whatever the body wanted. Listen, because we were spiritually dead and the body was alive to sin, so to speak, it wanted to do pleasurable, selfish, self-gratifying things. The soul, which is your mind, thought bad thoughts, schemed selfish things. The moment you and I were born again, the scriptures teach us that our spirit, which was dead, was now made alive. Jesus said in John 3, that's being born again. The spirit is quickened. The spirit that was dormant, dead within us, was made alive. You know what's amazing? Last Sunday, now this is unique. I'm not saying it happens to everybody. I did hear that it happened to some people. Didn't happen to me. But last Sunday, when we were giving out the word of God, there was a woman who, when I was asking people to come forward and make a decision for Jesus, this woman said that she was listening to the message was clicking, it was making sense to her, and when the invitation came, she knew she had to make a decision. And she didn't know what to do. She didn't know if she should choose yes for Jesus or no for Jesus. She just was brought to that place. She said, I knew I had to do something. It was either yes for God or no for God. She goes, I was brought to that place. There was no middle road. She said, I began to shake. I couldn't believe it. She said, I felt like somebody had poured warm water on the top of my head all the way down to the soles of my feet, and I knew I had to get up and come forward. Now, I don't know. I never had such an experience. But this woman encountered the Lord saying to her, choose me, yes or no. And decisions are made. You may or may not feel anything. That's not the point. The point is we are complex human beings created in the image of God. Mark it down. Genesis 1:26. Genesis 1:26 is then God said, let us make man in our image according to our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the air and over the cattle and over all the earth and over every creeping thing that creeps upon the earth. Verse 27, so God created man or mankind in his own image. In the image of God, he created him, male and female, he created them. That is awesome. Did you notice the song that's in that in verses 26 and 27? God said, let us, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, make man, God, singular, us, plural, man, singular, in our image, and let's create them, mankind, singular, mankind, male and female, plural. Amazing. Amazing work of God. What craftsmanship. What ingenuity. What genius. And he creates us in his image. And that word in the Hebrew, by the way, is resemblance, something like. It means to reflect or the reflection of. And the image of means the shadow. It's translated often, maybe in your margins of your Bible, the same moral likeness of God. God is not 6 feet tall. It doesn't mean that God has five fingers on each hand. That's not what it means. You say, well, how many fingers does he have? I don't know, probably. I don't know. It doesn't say. That's not the point. It's the moral likeness, meaning what you feel, what you and I feel and experience in this fallen state, in this world that you and I live in, we are a little, tiny, tiny little reflection of God. We are not God, Shirley MacLaine. We will never become God, Joseph Smith. But we are reflectors of God based upon the fact that he has created us, not angels in his image. He made you and I in his image. Did you know the Bible says in Corinthians, I read it today, that you and I will someday judge angels. That means you and I, look, we're going to get real smart apparently between, somehow we're going to sit in judgment when we're with the Lord. We're going to sit in judgment over angels. We're going to know stuff. Wow. What are we going to know? Stuff. And it's going to be big stuff, apparently. Created in the image of God. Don't tell me that we're not complex. You say, Jack, why are you bringing this up for? Because listen, this complexity that you and I possess, we are on this side of the garden, you guys. You got to understand something. You got to remember good basic Bible theology. Adam and Eve were created perfect. They were perfect. And they chose wrong. You say, well, that's stupid. How can they be perfect and choose wrong? Because we are created in the image of God. We have the ability to choose. God gave us that. It's built in. We are responsible for our choices, but we chose wrong. God is holy. God's nature is perfect. He can't choose wrong. We are a small reflection of his glory. Psalm 8, verse 4 says, what is man that you are mindful of him, or the son of man that you should care for him? You made him, that is mankind, a little lower than the angels and crowned him with glory and honor. You made him to rule over the works of your hands and put everything under his feet. That's not only an announcement about mankind, it is obviously a statement of Jesus as it's quoted and applied to him. Charles Spurgeon, the great preacher of yesteryear, said this, if all of my thoughts about what heaven will be like would have to be reduced to just one, it would be that I shall someday appear like my Savior, holy and complete. That's a beautiful statement. Church, you and I are en route to eternity. And I want to ask you tonight, how do you know you're going to heaven? You should have evidence and proof that the Holy Spirit is working in your life. And I plead with you, I'll do anything. I'll stand on my head if I can. I'll certainly get on my knee and beg with you that you do not make any prejudgments, but you hear these series of teachings out. You might say, well, Jack, you know, man, that sounds kind of legalistic. You're laying that on me about I should know if I'm... Absolutely, you should know, but I'm not challenging you to make you upset. I'm challenging you because the scripture says these things have been written that you might know that you have eternal life. You should know. In all of this world of uncertainty, there's one thing you should be certain about. You should know that you're going to heaven. Absolutely. My friend, listen, I know what it's like, by the way. I know what it's like to be a Christian and not know that. I had a strange, weird conversion. I was radically converted. And my goodness, I was saved for about a year or a year and a half before I met my wife. But Lisa can tell you horror stories about getting to know me. Because this is, I'm not joking. She's sitting over there. You can ask her after service. Because my past was so bad, which you'll never know about it, so don't ask. When I heard the good news about Jesus, it made perfect sense for me. I gave my heart to Christ, and I knew that's it. It happened. But what happened to me was, when I began to take a deep, deep meditative look at what Jesus did in my life and who he is, it's my past sin made me so sick. I went into a 3-year funk. I went into a 3-year fit of depression that If it wasn't for my wife and a few friends at Calvary Costa Mesa scooping me up and encouraging me, I probably would have just dropped dead. Why? Because, listen, before I met Jesus, I was a happy, happy, rotten, stinking sinner. I just didn't know I was a sinner. I was having a ball. And then I heard the gospel and found out what Jesus did for me, and the reality of my sin became so great. I mean, I got born again, but then I felt so bad for having done this to Jesus all my life that I carried a load on my back, self-imposed, mind you, of condemnation. I thought, my friends would tell me, oh man, you would have made a great Muslim because you would have been flogging yourself with the chain. You know how they beat themselves with the bloody razors? That was me. Wham! Whoa, I have to make atonement for my sins. Wait a minute, Jesus did that. And people would say, Jack, come on man, Jesus died on the cross for your sins. I know he did, but I'm so wicked. And all I could think about was my past. And the Lord had taken care, he had dealt with the past. I was overwhelmed by that. Completely blew my mind. And I saw myself unfit for heaven, not because I was arrogant or proud. It's because I thought Jesus died for you, and he loved you, and he'd die for you, and he'd die for you. But to enjoy that reality in my own life, I didn't know. And Lisa knows, when I used to have a bad thought, you knew if I had a bad thought. Because I would put my head in my hands, I would either cry or I would pound my head because I couldn't get the images out of my mind of my past. You guys, I likened that time of my life like to Martin Luther. He used to just beat his head up. I would have drained my head of the pictures if I could have. Little did I know, my position in Jesus Christ was secure. Little did I know that God in his patience knew that I would sometime get out of this thing and really put my weight on what he had done so that someday I could tell people about him. Because my friend, without the assurance of your salvation, you don't want to tell people nothing. You can't witness to anybody. And the church is sick. I'm not saying this church, but there's people in this church. And there's churches that are sick. I don't mean that in a bad way. I mean sick. They're ill because they're consumed by their failure and by their lack. And they don't understand that holiness first begins positionally in Jesus Christ, that from there you get to come out from. My friend, look at nature. An orange on a tree comes from the fact that the root is sucking strength from the ground, from the earth, water, nutrients from the sun. It's putting it all together. And how do you know? How do you know? Because on the end of the tree, there's an apple or there's an orange hanging there. All the amazing stuff takes place invisibly. And the moment you understand that God saved you, God called you, God is doing it, and he desires now for you to walk holy in this life is not some Amish-looking, works-centered, legalistic push to be something that you'll never be. It is a letting go. It is a bowing down. It is a, Lord, do what you want. Keep me yielded to you, God. And when you get up from that prayer, walk with him and watch what happens. It is amazing. He changes your thoughts. He removes the past. He causes you to pursue things that bless him and excite him. He causes the things that have plagued your life to move away. And you might tonight say, well, Pastor, I wish that would happen in my life, but I keep gravitating right back to that drink, or I keep gravitating right back to that thing or this thing. Listen, here it is, simple as this. You've not surrendered. You have not surrendered it. You've got to hate it. You say, well, I don't know if I hate it. I kind of like it. I have my own little thing. I have it over here. I mean, I'm walking really cool in every area of my life, but there's this thing back here that only Jesus knows about. I want you to be a man or a woman now, and I want you in your heart right now, right where you're at, in the silence of your soul, you can say, Lord, I'm bringing that to the front of the line. And you say, Jack, you didn't hear me. I said, I like it. I don't want to bring it to the front of the line. Here's what I'm going to ask you to pray. Pray it now with me. Ask him in your head. Don't say it. Lord, I don't want to give it up. But I am asking you now to put it in my heart to want to give it up. He's hearing you right now. You just took your first step in practical holiness, living a new life in power. Without it, my friend, you ain't going to heaven. You can tell us all day long that you're born again or that you are this or you are that. The fruit on the end of your tree will be seen by those who know you because something down deep inside just happened. You must get this under your belt. This is basic Christianity that I either apologize, confess, I don't know what to say. If I didn't make that clear over these last 19 years, then I'm stupid or you weren't listening, I don't know. But this is basic. This is run-of-the-mill, fundamental Christianity. The whole world is running around trying to get right with God, and to the believer who bows down, the Lord makes you right. So that when you walk around, you can't say, well, look how right I am. Look at me, I'm Mr. Right. You can't do that. You say, isn't God amazing? There go I, but for the grace of God. Isn't he incredible? I used to be like that, and I used to be lost, and I was stuck in that, but you know what? He rescued me, he saved me, he pulled me out, he set my foot upon a rock and upon a strong place. We are totally not going to get through this introduction message tonight. Second thing under this point, understanding us being human is this, the purpose of our existence. You might find this surprising, but listen, the purpose of our existence, church, is this. The purpose of our existence, the purpose of our lives is to know God, period. Period. But we need to meet him first. Man's greatest pursuit is God, but you got to meet him. Remember at the birth of Jesus Christ, the Magi came from Babylon. Remember that? They brought him the gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And in Matthew chapter 2, verses 1 and 2, it says that they came from the east to Jerusalem. And they said, where is he who was born king of the Jews? For we have seen a star in the east, and here it is. And we have come to worship him. This is awesome. Tonight, don't raise your hand. Believer, non-believer, who are you? You, if you're a human being, you were created to experience God, but you got to meet him first. You will never be complete in this life until you are a worshiper of God. That's why in this room tonight, there are people possibly who never quite felt connected with God because you know what? Worship is something that you'd rather ditch than attend because you have never seen him for who he is. Fundamental Christian life made anew is that we have come to worship him. You have to. See, Jack, I don't know what you're talking about. Oh, my dear friend, then you need to meet Jesus Christ. You say, wait a minute, come on, man. Are you crazy? I became a member of the some church, you know, and I, didn't I? When the elders interviewed me to become a member, didn't, you know? No. Think of Paul the Apostle. He was a Pharisee from the tribe of Benjamin, circumcised the eighth day. Concerning the law, he was blameless. Zeal above all of his other contemporaries. He was as lost as the day was long. And Paul the Apostle was riding on a horse heading to Damascus to kill Christians. And Jesus showed up. In a heavenly manifestation, there appeared before Paul and he fell off his pony. And I love his words. Who is it, Lord? Translation, Jesus, that's got to be you. What do you want me to do? Have you had that happen? You got to have it happen. It changed your life forever. So listen, check this out. In Philippians 3:10, the Bible says, and this is Paul's prayer. Isn't it amazing? He's an old man now. He'd been saved a long time when he said this. Philippians 3:10. He says, that I may know him. He's talking about the Lord Jesus, that the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings. Why, Paul? Being conformed to his death, meaning I don't want anything of me left. That's the purpose of my existence. You say, Jack, that's a contradiction. How can you have yourself, as it were, erased through this concept of death that Paul's speaking about, that he might live? Oh, yeah. A life that the Spirit is working holiness into says things like this. Lord, I can do anything. Church, are you listening to this right now? This is big stuff. This is big. Lord, I know as a believer, I can live and do anything I want. You have given me that. That's theologically accurate. I can do anything I want. Did you know that? Technically, according to Scripture, I can live any kind of life I choose. Francis of Assisi said, I can live any kind of life I want, but I want to live for God. Billy Graham said, I can do as I please. I please to live for Christ. Amen. Did you know that? The truth is that you and I are to present ourselves a living sacrifice. You have got to have, and ask him if you don't, the wanna. Oh, Lord, I want to exist for you. Oh, this is fun. I had 3 points. We'll finish 1 point tonight, and we'll panic next Wednesday night. This is a neat thing. Exodus chapter 28, you can turn there or you can write it down. Exodus 28, 36, it is so cool because God is giving Moses all of the instructions on what to do about the tabernacle in the wilderness, which would obviously eventually was a type of the temple to be. And the type of the temple to be would obviously be, the Bible says, a picture, a model of what's in heaven. Check this out. In Exodus 28:36, the scripture says, you shall also make a plate of pure gold and engrave on it, like the engraving on a signet, holiness to the Lord. Keep writing down these verses. Zechariah 14, 20, 21. Zechariah 14, 20, 21. In that day, by the way, that's a reference to the millennium. In that day, holiness to the Lord shall be engraved on the bells of the horses. So at least you know this, there's going to be horses in the millennium with bells on. The pots in the Lord's house shall be the bowls before the altar, or shall be like the bowls before the altar.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio. In a lesson that answers the question, how do we get from here to heaven? It's a serious look at the hereafter, examining the only credible source of what we need to know about it, the Bible, God's holy written word. How do we get from here to heaven? It's actually a series that we'll be bringing your way here on Real Radio over the next few weeks. And that means we'll continue with more on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. Now, just last week, Pastor Jack completed his series through 1 Corinthians. Now, we hope you were able to hear the broadcasts and follow along. We were in it for quite some time. If you'd like to hear it again, or maybe you came in somewhere in the middle of the series here on Real Radio, and you'd like to hear it from the very beginning, well, we still can make that available for you. It's real easy, too. Pastor Jack's entire series through 1 Corinthians, all on one flash drive. There are 67 messages in all. These are all MP3s, so your iPod will work, smartphone, computer. And our offer still stands. All 67 MP3s of Pastor Jack's series through 1 Corinthians, all on this one USB flash drive for your gift of any amount to the ongoing broadcast outreach of Real Radio. Remember, that's 67 messages. How do you get yours? Well, call, click, or write. Our telephone number is 1-877-RR-RADIO. That's 877-RR-RADIO. You can also pay us a visit at realradioactive.org. That's realradioactive.org. Or if you'd like, send your gift to Real Radio, Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. And of course, all of our contact info can be found at realradioactive.org. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio and made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at realradioactive.org. That's realradioactive.org. I'm David J. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.